The churches say that no man can know the day and hour of Judgment Day, but you claim that you've been able to figure it out using the Bible. How is that possible?
God had not given yet until this time when we're right near the end of time, and they, for example, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, as God is talking to the disciples as they are preparing to begin the New Testament church, which began on Pentecost in A.D. 33, when about 3,000 were saved at the time the Holy Spirit was poured out. And the disciples asked Jesus concerning when would the time and the end be. And Christ said in Acts 1, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you effectively, I'm paraphrasing now, you get busy and get the gospel out into all the world. And so God put a lot of warnings in the Bible. We can't know the day or the hour of the time Christ is coming as a thief in the night. But we also have learned that in the book of Daniel, God gave Daniel a lot of information about the end of the world, and then he told Daniel to seal it up, write it in a book, and seal it up. And then we go to Revelation 5, and we find that there would be a time when Christ would open the seals, and there were seven seals on that book, and that would teach a whole lot more information about the end of the world. And we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5, there would come a time when the heart of the true believer would know time and judgment. And the fact is that until our generation, nobody knew when creation occurred. The usher had come up with a date of 4004 B.C., which was absolutely wrong as could be. They never knew when the flood occurred. They never knew. God just had not given that information. But in our day, God has opened all of that up. He's told us to watch and search this out, because the seals have been taken off of that information that Daniel had been instructed to put in as part of the Bible. And so there's all kinds of information we have today that was not available when the creeds were written. And so sometimes it's almost, well, I would say it's almost humorous. That's the wrong word. I should not use that. But it's sad that, like when I teach on the Open Forum or other programs on family radio, the churches know nothing about what we're teaching because they are not aware that there's a lot more to the Bible than what they had known when the confessions were written. And God had hidden that in the Word of God. That's why the Bible is so complicated, so complex, and has so many difficult verses in it, because Christ spoke in parables. So that also served to keep people from knowing truth. God wrote about that himself in Mark 4, that he taught in parables so that seeing they would not see and hearing they would not hear. But if we are worshiping the Bible, if we look at that as our only authority, and that is identified with God himself, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that's how tight the Bible is related to Christ. And every word came from God. Holy men of old spoke as God the Holy Spirit moved them. That is, he gave them the words to say. So now we have the whole Bible, and there's a lot of information, like the exact time of the end of the world. It's always been there, but God has not allowed anybody until the last 20 years or so to really know when that is. And now God has given magnificent proof that show us absolutely that we have understood the timeline of history of the gospel accurately.
So what you're saying is not only that we can know the date of the rapture, but also that God has already told us when it would come.
He has told us, he has given us that time with great accuracy. And you know, I still remember about 40 years ago, in fact, prayed about it and prayed about it, I realized, no, there's one thing, one area that I would really like to know more and more of, about, and that is the Bible. So very deliberately, I bought a Bible with a good leather cover and began to cram the Bible. And for 5 years, nothing really surfaced. I was just getting better and better acquainted. But any time I had a spare minute, my nose was in the Bible. But after about 5 years, I was 40 years old. I remember this very distinctly. I had focused for that 5 years on the numbers in the Bible, like so-and-so was so old and he begat a son and that was so old. Why did God put all that information in here? These were not questions of unbelief, but they were questions of, I wonder if God has more to tell us. And when I was 40 years old, I felt I had accurately determined the date of creation. That when it was coordinated with our date, it was 11,013 B.C., and I was quite sure I had done it accurately. In fact, I've never had to change there anything. I wrote a book right after that called Adam When, and showed exactly how I came to that date, and it's still available. Anybody can call Family Radio and get a free copy of it. I had a strange feeling. What in the world's going on? Who am I? I'm a nothing. I'm not a theologian. I'm a nothing. And yet here I truly believe that I know the date of creation. And then continuing through the years, through the next, well, let's see, I was 40 years old. I'm 88 now. So continuing through the next 48 years, I have continued to diligently search, and slowly on God opened more and more information. I wrote a book 4 or 5 years ago called Time Has an End and laid out all the dates all the way to 2011. But I constantly wrote in that book, it's very, very highly likely. It could happen, but I never said it very emphatically because suppose I made a mistake somewhere along the way. Then about 2 years ago, God began to show proof. Someone called, and I had developed the truth that Christ was crucified on April 1 to 33 A.D. That's the only date that will fit all of the biblical requirements, and that, of course, and I was also teaching that May 21, 2011 is the time when we get to the end, when the rapture is going to occur. And then someone called me and said, do you realize that if you calculate all the days, and remember, when you go from 1 year to another, you don't calculate it by the calendar, you calculate it by the fact that there are 365.2422 days in a year. The astronomers have come to that, and that is the length of every year. It never varies. And so when you take the 1978 years from A.D. 33, April 1, to April 1 of 2011, you multiply 1978 times 365.242 days, and you get a number, and then you have to add 51 more days in order to get to May 21, and lo and behold, you get the answer of 722,500 days. But what's significant about that is that when you break that down to its important numbers, it is 5 times 10 times 17 times 5, times 10, times 17. Well, now, the Bible, I've learned a long time ago that the Bible uses words to illustrate spiritual truth. Christ spoke in parables. When we see the word atonement, we know he is talking about the fact that he made payment for the sins of those that he planned to save. When we see the word peace, we know that God is speaking about having, normally, the context shows this, that we're at peace with God. But the numbers also, some of them, are used to illustrate spiritual truth. For example, in Revelation 20, it talks there about Satan being bound 1,000 years. Well, when we search the Bible, we find that he was bound at the time of the cross. The Bible teaches that. And he is loosed at the end of the church age. And when he again has been installed to rule over the churches, that was in 1988. And that's way more than 1,000 years. But the number 1,000, like the number 100 or the number 10, if it is not used as a literal number, signifies the completion of whatever is in view. The number 3 is used again and again and again to illustrate that this is God's purpose. And the number 5 is used to illustrate the atonement, like the half shekel temple tax, that's point 5, and other places of that nature. In the Bible, that the number 5 signifies the atonement, and 17, that is used in places in the Bible so that we learn that it is illustrating being taken up into heaven. And lo and behold, 5 is the atonement. It was demonstrated as Christ was on the cross. 10 is completeness. So from the time we become saved, because Christ went to the cross, the completion of our salvation is when? When we receive our resurrected bodies. We're not completely saved yet. Just because we've been saved, we still have a resurrected body God has to give us. And that is going to happen on the day of the rapture. At that time, all the people who have become saved will receive their glorified spiritual bodies. So we have 5, the atonement, and the completion of the atonement is finished on May 21, 2011, when the rapture occurs. That's 5 times 10 times 17. Wow! That just fits perfectly. And not only that, that 5 times 10 times 17 is double. It's 5 times 10 times 17 times 5 times 10 times 17. Well, you know, when Joseph was talking to Pharaoh about the Pharaoh's dreams, the 7 fat cows and the 7 skinny cows and the 7 fat ears of corn and the 7 skinny ears of corn, remember, Joseph was told Pharaoh, because he's speaking, of course, as God is guiding him, that the dream was doubled because it is certainly established and it's soon going to come to pass. And so here God has doubled 5 times 10 times 17 times 5 times 10 times 17. He's doubled it to show that it's absolutely established and it's going to come to pass. Man, when I began to think about that, wow, that means that all the work that had been done through the previous 50 years in searching out the timeline had been done accurately, because everything builds upon whatever has happened in the past.
Why do you think you have correctly and accurately understood the Bible?
Well, insofar as for example, when there's so much material that has to be understood in arriving at the timeline of history, just to use an illustration. There's so much that has to be accurately understood. And then to have these proofs, like the one I just talked about 722,500 days from April 1, 33 A.D., the atonement, until the final completion of our salvation on May 21, 2011. Or again, we find that the Bible points to the fact that there are exactly 7,000 years from the flood of Noah's day until 2011, when the world is going to be destroyed by fire. And that's exactly what we have discovered 35 years ago when I wrote the book Adam When. I wrote in there that the flood occurred in the year 4990 B.C., and that's exactly 7,000 years before 2011. You add 2011 to 4990, you get 7001. You have to subtract 1 year because there's no year zero. So the actual years is exactly 7,000, exactly as God declares that it is to be. And these are proofs that emphasize that we have been working accurately, very accurately, in the Word of God. Another interesting thing is, if you read Genesis chapter 7, you find that the biblical date, according to the calendar that was used by the Bible in that day, in 4990 B.C., the biblical date was the 17th day of the second month. And in May 21, 2011, the biblical date, and you can check this on any Jewish calendar that follows the Bible's calendar, you'll find that it is also the 17th day, the second month, the exact same day when the Day of Judgment will begin. And these kind of proofs are just mind-boggling that emphasize the accuracy of all the work that has been done in these past 50 years in coming to where we are in our understanding the absolute authority of the Bible.
When was the end of the church age?
Well, the nation of Israel became a nation in 1447 B.C. at the time they left Egypt to go into the land of Canaan. And they continued to represent the kingdom of God until the church age began at Pentecost in 33 A.D. when the Holy Spirit was poured out. God was finished then with the nation of Israel representing the kingdom of God and shifted to the churches that would be established all over the world. And for the next 1955 years until 1988, the kingdom of Christ was represented externally by the churches. And then in 1988, God was finished with the churches. They had become very, very wicked. They had turned away from the truth of the Bible so greatly. That was the time when he began to bring judgment on the churches. And now he is simply saving people directly. It is God and that individual and God. There is no intermediate anywhere.
Is there any evidence of this in the Bible?
Well, we have to look at a whole lot of things in the Bible. But, for example, in connection with the end of the church age, we read in Matthew 24, where it says in verse 15, and remember, Christ spoke in parables. We have to look for the spiritual meaning. When ye see, therefore, the abomination of desolation, and when we check that in the Bible, that's when Satan will be ruling in the churches. And God speaks about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, that the man of sin, who can be shown to be Satan, will take his seat, and that's a figure that means to rule, in the temple. And the temple in the church age was the churches, because that is what represented the kingdom of God. And that's when the abomination of desolation, when we see that Satan is ruling there, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then we are to read, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. That's where the Bible always had been throughout the church age. Whoso readeth, to him understand. Then let them which be in Judea, that's another spiritual reference to the churches, let them flee into the mountains, that is, flee to Christ. Mountains are also spiritually representing Christ. And that meant get out, because their churches are now under the wrath of God.
What are the four horsemen of the apocalypse?
The four horsemen of Revelation 6 demonstrate the development of the gospel into the world through the church age. The first horseman rode on a white horse, and he had a sword in his... Well, let me read it so I'll do it accurately. In Revelation chapter 6, and this, of course, is known to us only in these last 20 years, because it's only been during the last 21 years that this seal has been taken off of the taking off the seals is when God is opening up the information that had been sealed in the days of Daniel. But here it says, and there's the first horseman. He was on a white horse. That's Christ riding on a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That shows that Christ, when he is sending out the gospel, is going to do what he planned to do with the gospel. He utterly will make sure that those who are to be saved will become saved, and that those who are to remember the gospel is for fragrance of life unto life, and of death unto death, and it will bring damnation upon those who are not saved. Then he opened the second seal, and that was a rider on a red horse, and he came to take peace away from the earth. That's Satan. As soon as the gospel started going out in the world, he would be trying to destroy the gospel, and that people should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. What sword is that? It's the word of God. Remember when he was trying to destroy Christ in the 40 days when Christ was being tempted? He quoted from the Bible. That's the sword. That's the way Satan operates today. He uses verses of the Bible. He speaks like he's an angel of light, but he twists the Bible, twists the understanding, so that they become a death trap for those who are listening to him. Then the third horse is a black horse, and it talks about a pair of balances in his hand and the fact that there's not enough wheat and grain. And that indicates that as the gospel was sent into the world, it would gradually go away from truth. It would be less and less available to serve the nations of the world. And then finally there was a pale horse, and his name that was on him was death and hell, that is the grave, followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. That is talking about the fact that finally the church age would come to an end. The gospel would cause death because it had gone against the word of God so much, there was so much rebellion against God, that finally death would come, and the grave, which is hell.
The four horsemen represent the first four seals. What about the fifth seal?
The opening of the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held, and they cried out, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, that thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And they were told, be patient, be patient. There is a time when that judgment would come. And we're living in that day now. Judgment begins with the house of God, as we read in Peter. It begins in the churches. They already are under the judgment. That's why God has abandoned the churches. That's why we're not to be in the churches any longer. They are ruled over by Satan now. That's the judgment process that God is using. And those that are still in the churches on May 21, 2011, will be going right into the day of judgment.
What about seal number six?
That's giving us the information that now we can begin to know about the characteristics of the end of the world, judgment day. Now we know that it begins on May 21, 2011. We know that it'll continue for 5 months, and that finally on October 21, 2011, there'll be a complete annihilation of everything in the world, and nothing of this world will ever be remembered again. We know that when the day of judgment begins on May 21, there'll be no more gospel in the world. There will be no more mercy of God, no more possibility of anyone becoming saved. All of this detail we now know, as it's indicated by the sixth seal. Notice it talks about a great earthquake, and the day of judgment will begin with a huge earthquake that the world has never known before, because all the graves will be thrown open. The true believers, their bodies will be taken out of the graves, a glorified spiritual body, and raptured. They'll be caught up to be with Christ. But the unsaved, their bodies or bones or dust, whatever is left, whatever atoms of them are left, will be thrown out and shamed in the eyes of God. They will be desecrated in the eyes of God. Those people will not suffer at all because they are long dead. But in the eyes of God, they're still the punishment of having them being shamed in the eyes of God.